Mental Gymnastics 101 with Dr. David Nichols.
Hey, welcome to American Christian. I'm Pete Cooper.
And I am Dr. David Nichols.
And we are with Heart of the Father Ministries. And you are now listening to episode 86. And, you know, Doc, we started talking about the kingdom of God. I am really excited about this. It came out yesterday or in a previous episode 85, like a shotgun. Boom! Took us right through the Old Testament where the kingdom was set up. It's on display. Comes forward. Now we're rolling right into the New Testament.
Whoa.
And then you're like, hey, maybe we ought to start Christmas.
Christmas.
Because this kind of all flows out of the kingdom.
It does.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some genealogy today, a little bit of that.
Right.
And, you know, so what is this good for? Like, why does a guy who's, like, starting to peer into the things of God, why does he want to be here?
Well, the guy who's wanting to peer into the things of God was not raised in his childhood under a king.
Oh.
The guys that are listening to us were raised under a constitutional republic called the United States of America. So to talk about kings and kingdoms is kind of like foreign, right?
It is very foreign.
So we kind of have to make an adjustment looking backwards on how that was, because at some point you have to make an analogy between the way those kings and kingdoms reigned. There has to be some way meaning gets attached to when you say the word kingdom.
Right.
You know, we say it all the time. Hey, kingdom of God. Hey, you know, five souls came into
your
the kingdom.
Your kingdom come.
Right,
your will
right,
be
right,
done.
Right, right. And we should. We should be saying those things.
Yeah, but we don't know.
But how
what
do
we're
we
saying.
Attach meaning to that?
Right.
Because we don't have kings.
Kingdoms have reigns and they have realms, but
right.
We're not going there today. Not really.
I mean,
we're not going to define those out, but just something to put back there on the back burner. That kingdoms there's a complexity to them.
Right.
There are overarching kingdoms. There are big, like kind of what we did right here with Marxism being this type of a kingdom that oversees and overarches these smaller kingdoms of the Idi Amin's and the
Cuba and Venezuela.
What's happening there? So anyway, moving forward.
Right. So, but to come into the New Testament with the kingdom, you have to deal with a very striking fact that there are all these kings and kingdoms that you read about in the Old Testament, that whole order came to a screeching halt.
Ooh.
In 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar came for the third time to Judah. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar is basically the Caesar of that time. I mean, he is the dude. He has conquered the world. And the kings of Judah, actually three of them, think they're going to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar and not be conquered by him. Even though Jeremiah the prophet is prophesying day and night, hey, this guy's coming and he's going to defeat us. And our sins, we didn't repent. And he gives all the reasons. Just read the book of Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And so the third time Nebuchadnezzar comes, he says, hey, I've had enough. And he just levels the city to the ground, destroys the temple, and takes the people captive off to Babylon.
So tell them about, the last king, Zedekiah. He's the last king in the lineage, basically, of David.
Of David, right.
And what happens?
Oh, my word, yeah. Well, this you can read in those books as well. Zedekiah. So finally, they wage this long, it takes like over a year.
Yeah.
And the Babylonians conquer them, level the city. They capture the king of Judah, Zedekiah.
Right.
They bring his sons and stand them in front of him and kill him. And then they put out his eyes. And this is how the Babylonians operated. You want to oppose us. You want to resist us. Here's what your life's going to be like. And then they put chains on him and haul him off to Babylon captive for the rest of his life. Now that is the glorious ending of the physical kingdom of the southern kingdom of Israel.
Yeah, and remember yesterday we started out, you wanted a king.
That's what God said.
That's what he said. Well, you know what? We're not here standing against you, Samuel. They're standing against me.
Yeah, they rejected me is what God said. They have rejected me that I should not reign over them.
Right, and so I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with earthly kings. And now here we are, right?
I mean, right.
They are there at that point. They have taken right. your best. They've taken your most beautiful. They've mm-hmm. taken your most skilled. They've taken a portion of everything that you have. And where does all that end up? In a disaster.
Right.
You know, you can't live life without the Lord being in charge. The devil is going to continue to lay assault against you unless right. you become proficient in being able to speak against him and to keep him away from you and yours. Because he's just going to keep coming back. He doesn't stop. He doesn't relent.
Right.
And so we need to be on our guard.
Right.
And so this helps us learn how to be on the guard. We Absolutely. Start to learn the terminology of a kingdom,
right.
and we start to learn about authority and the authority of the believer.
So for 500 years plus,
yeah.
the southern kingdom, Judah, in other words, basically the nation of Israel,
yeah.
has no king. And then, so you come through that whole time and all the stuff that happens, and
yeah.
in fact, the prophet Daniel prophesies it in great detail, much of it, and you get through and you come up and then Jesus comes. You're
yeah.
like, wow.
We have what? Yeah, we have this, the silence, it's known as the silence between
right.
the old and the new.
About 350 years of that, when there's no inspired prophet of God, Malachi was the last one, right.
And it's not an unusual thing. Because this happened back in the days of Moses, under the captivity.
Ooh.
So there's been a few times, a couple of times, where God's been silent.
But he was really silent. It's called the intertestamental period, the time between the Old and New Testament.
What in the world was going on? That would be an interesting study, wouldn't it? What was going on in the world right around that time?
Well, there was a lot, because what Daniel prophesied was happening. So the Babylonian kingdom came to its end with the Medo-Persians conquering it. Remember, Daniel said that.
Yeah.
So they were in power for a couple hundred years. Then rose Alexander the Great. He's called the goat and with the two horns.
Not the greatest of all time?
Daniel. No.
No, the goat.
No.
The biblical goat.
The biblical goat, yeah. Right. And he... there was the goat and the ram and all those animals. Remember, we're not going into that in detail.
Right.
Just to say the Greeks conquered the world, and then that kingdom split into four parts. And that's much of that intertestamental period is about that, where Israel became a buffer zone between the kingdom of the Seleucids, it's called, and the kingdom of the Ptolemies. The Seleucids is basically... Syria and regions around there, and Ptolemies is basically Egypt. And so there's all this fighting back and forth, and here's Israel right in the middle of all of that. And in the middle of that, you get this nutcase, Antiochus Epiphanes, who desecrates the temple, and because the temple got rebuilt now under Ezra and Nehemiah
right.
and all those guys.
Yeah.
And so the temple's back in operation, but for 3.5 years, the temple does not operate. It's desecrated terribly by, he actually offers a pig on the great altar of the temple of that time. And then you get the great story of Judas Maccabeus. You get some of those intertestamental books written, the Maccabees. That's where those come out of, and so forth. And they very heroic guys. And the Jews rise up, and they fight against these Gentile powers and partially defeat them. But they don't really have a king. Judas he himself would not say he's a king.
Right.
He was a kind of military leader guy, but yeah. So you get through all of that, and then you come up to Jesus. And that's where I want to read right now, because kingdom, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't see this. I mean, I saw it, but I didn't really grasp hold of it before. When the angel appears to Mary, okay, so here's our Christmas deal. This is all, this now is Christmas. This is Mary conceiving Jesus in her womb as a virgin, you know, giving birth to him, the shepherds, wise men, all that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're familiar.
Luke chapter 1.
Here we go.
Here's what the angel says to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now hang on a minute. In the physical world, there is no throne of David to give to him. Not only did all these kingdoms succeed each other, in 63 BC, the Romans came in and conquered this whole part of the world, including Galilee, Judea, Syria, all these places that we read about in the Bible.
Yeah.
And ever since then, so by the time of Jesus' birth, 100 years of rule by the Romans. So, and this kingdom, the southern kingdom, the kingdom of David, was ended, at least as far as the earth and physical is concerned, in 586 BC. So this prophetic word coming through the angel Gabriel is like, dude, it is, whoa, it is like way
right
out there.
And what would have Mary known? She would have known about David.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a very familiar
Right. And what was the expectation that was in Israel under the Roman occupation? Generation after generation after generation, our deliverer is going to come.
Mm.
Our Messiah is going to come. He's going to set us free from this yoke of bondage.
Yeah, but after you hear it, and you've been hearing it, and you've been hearing it, do you start to just start to wax and wane away from the, we know. Okay. So, okay, let's answer this question. Let's have you answer this question.
Okay.
All right. So, Mary and Joseph, right? So they are coming out of a place where it is possible, right, for Jesus to move into this kingship, right? Because he's going to become offspring, right?
Right.
So
Mary, not Joseph.
Right. Yeah. So it's through Mary's line.
Right.
So David is her
great, way back.
14
right.
So generations. But that's interesting. Like, how far back do you go? How far back do I go? How far back can we take our ancestry where, hey, you know what? If you knew something about your grandfather removed 10 generations, what would you learn about him? Well, I'm trying right now.
I got a guy on my grandpa's side. Yeah, this guy that came over here from Prussia. Around Germany, Frederick K. Ringling. We're still trying to find out about this guy.
Well, that's one of the Ringling brothers.
His cousin was the original founding guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Doc.
Frederick's cousin, Augustus. August.
That's...
I know, it's crazy. We've been digging into this. But...
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but anyway, it's something to do. But you're right, for Mary... And then to find out Joseph, the adopted father of Jesus, remember his real father is the father, and Mary
father
conceives by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But he has a father on the earth in the person of Joseph, and he traces back to David too.
Right.
Now, you can't make this stuff up.
Right.
I mean, so he is literally the son of David.
Yeah.
But now you're going to see spiritually and powerfully and authoritatively as well. So let's read the next
verse. Wait a minute. I got another thing here.
Okay.
Okay, so check this out. So we're looking at life in 2021 right now, and we start to think about families and breaking down of the families.
Ooh.
Look, Jesus was raised up not by his birth father. Wasn't technically, right?
I
mean, Joseph was, right?
And that whole story is in Matthew.
It is.
It takes a visitation of an angel and a couple of dreams to bring Joseph around. Well, any man would.
Well, yeah, right? Absolutely. But it's just the idea of, like, look, you can build your family if you do it and you come back into looking at how God raises up people and by following after Lord and being obedient to his word. Single mothers, you can get married and you can have a man, an upright man, come into your family and he can help raise your children.
Yes.
It can be done. And it might look like it's an impossible thing to you right now, but I'm just saying that here's the groundwork for it not being impossible, because Joseph came in and taught Jesus a trade.
And you might have to pray him in, gals.
I'm saying you better pray him in.
Right.
You ain't going to find him.
Just don't go out there searching around. Hey, I got to have a man.
Yeah, all the honky-tonks are closed in eastern Minnesota. But still, don't be finding your guy down at the bar. You got to get to church. Get to church. Man, that's one of my rants right now. I can't help it.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, God.
All right, so the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's verse 32.
Yeah.
Verse 33, this child who will be born, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. He will reign in his kingdom.
Notice the contrast to David's physical kingdom. And the physical kingdom ended in 586 BC. But remember this about David, too. Toward the end of his life, you remember David started gathering all the materials together to build God a temple?
Right.
And he's like, oh, God, I want to build you a temple. This is just like the people in Exodus. In 1 Samuel, that when they wanted a king. Okay, David is like, oh, God, I got to build you a temple. What does God do? Oh, Dave, would you? I've wanted a temple for so long. You're a man after my own heart, and you want to, it's so cool, David. Okay, is that what God says? No, go back and read the story. God says, no, you can't build me a temple. You're a man of war. You're a man of blood.
Yeah.
He said, I'll let your son build the temple. But he says, you want to build me a house. God says to David, I'll build you a house, meaning a lineage and a dynasty.
Wow.
But at that point, nobody could conceive that it was going to jump down here 1,000 years later and be Jesus.
Yeah, and then...
that's powerful, dude.
I know, and what about the temple today of being in the heart of man?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's... All this stuff is huge.
It is. So this child who's not even born yet, the angel is prophesying all this, that he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so then we come to the Christmas story. Mary says to the angel, how can this be? I don't know a man. Angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So, and then you know the story.
Yeah.
Christmas and the shepherds and the wise men. And we're up and running, and Jesus is on the earth.
Right.
And he is here to reign over the house of Jacob forever and have an unending kingdom. Contrast to David's, which ended in a certain sense, at least with the physical throne.
Right.
Now, this kingdom is never going to end. Wow, this is pretty huge. So then you follow this along. You know, you go through all that. You go through Jesus grows up, and he gets ready to do his ministry. You jump over in Luke to chapter 4, because we're still thinking about kingdoms here, right?
Right.
So Jesus comes into the temptation in the wilderness.
Right.
And I like this story because it's like Satan trying to play catch up. You know? It's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Do you know the Apostle Paul says that the princes, the evil princes, and Satan himself did not know what was coming down when Jesus appeared here on the earth? If they would have known, Paul says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. they had to react. They were not leading the show anymore. God was taking action. God sent his son, born of a virgin. Herod couldn't kill him, remember? Remember the Magi and all that thing from Matthew? Yeah, Herod, hey, tell me when you find him, I'll come down and worship him too.
And that was protected, trying to protect the kingdom Herod, from Herod's perspective.
Right,
and not only that, but so what's the part about him actually going to Rome and receiving a kingdom?
Herod did.
Yeah. Yes, right. So Herod's doesn't even get a kingdom in through his own credentials, so to speak, right? He goes and says,
no,
hey.
He has it handed to him by Caesar. Now he does favors for Caesar.
Well, right.
To do the whole political thing, you know.
But could have anybody went to Bill, the shepherd, whatever.
Hey, I want to be the king.
Like somehow
no,
he gets.
That didn't work that way.
No. But so how does Herod get his so-called his kingdom? And why is that important?
Oh, my, that's a long story, Pete.
Well, it is a long story,
yeah.
But, you know, we're talking that there are kingdoms that even you, listener, even me, we're trying to establish some sort of a kingdom within our own household, right?
And
is
kingdom
it about
of Pete.
The kingdom of Pete. But I have surrendered my kingdom.
Ooh.
And I have brought in the Lord's kingdom.
Ooh.
And I listen to what he has
we're
for me.
We're going to come to that in a while here in this series. We're going to spend some time on it.
Oh, good.
That's very huge.
All right, good.
All right, but
where
maybe,
are we going?
Maybe we should just back up a little bit now here. We were up to Luke 4, but let's back up a little bit to Matthew chapter 2, because we can't miss this.
Okay, all right.
All right,
yeah.
Because only Matthew tells this.
Oh, okay.
In the New Testament.
All right.
And it's in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, so Herod is a king. He has a kind of a sub-kingdom within the larger kingdom, which is the empire of Rome.
Right? Oh, right, okay. Right. Okay, there's your overarch.
Of whom, and Luke tells us all that information, who is the Caesar and who's the governor and all that stuff at the time Jesus was born, remember?
Yeah.
You can study that all out, too. But what we want to look at here is, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east, magi, came to Jerusalem. Just want to throw this in here out of the Christmas story because your Christmas cards, most of them that are showing the wise men are not showing it correctly because they're humping it across the desert on their camels.
Yeah.
And they're this low-flying star throwing sparks.
Yeah.
And they're being led right to Bethlehem to worship Jesus, right?
Right.
That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
Here's what the Bible actually says. They get to Jerusalem. They don't go to Bethlehem first, saying, where is he who has been born, what?
King of the Jews.
King of the Jews. Now, something they saw in the east, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
As astronomers of their day, there's something they saw in the east that made them head west to Jerusalem. Something was happening in Judah, the land of the Jews, so they head to the capital city. That makes logical sense.
Yeah.
Okay? But they are searching for the king of the Jews, and this is what gets Herod all riled up, of course, and you keep going, hey, I'm the king of the Jews. What do you
for
mean?
That, sort
you
of.
Don't have to look for some baby. I'm the guy. But then he brings out the scribes and elders, and they say, well, we know the answer to that. That's Micah chapter 5, Bethlehem.
Mm.
And Herod goes, ooh, really? Okay, so he sends the Magi down to Bethlehem, 7-mile trip
right.
from Jerusalem. And he says, when you get there and find them, then let me know, and I'll come and worship them. And you remember, they're warned in a dream. And they disobey the civil power.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
We've been talking about
that. We have been before.
Yeah.
And they go back to their own country a different way. But the point here is they were searching for the king of the Jews, and they found him.
Right.
In a manger in Bethlehem. Well, he probably wasn't in the manger by then. But they were living in a house, Mary and Joseph.
They found him.
This is probably a couple months, 2 to 3 months after Jesus was born, when the Magi actually get there. So sorry about that for your manger scene. But it's still okay. We have one right here in Heart of the Father that has them all together. You know, the sheep, the cattle, the shepherds, the wise men, the angels. It's okay, you know. Because, you know, the other, here's another, as long as we're talking about Christmas,
yeah.
Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th.
Yeah.
Sorry to have to break that to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead and ask me, Pete.
Well, Doc,
was Jesus born?
When was Jesus born?
Probably about September 15th. As near as we can determine. Say, wow, wait, what? No, we're past that already. What? No, it's okay.
Oh, so then you.
It's
oh,
okay.
That's why
they set a date.
That's why we celebrate Christmas in November now.
Ooh.
We're trying to draw it back to September.
Pull it back to where.
So we can get it out in front of get it out in front of Halloween.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That actually Jesus gets the first holiday
Ooh.
Of the end of the
Ooh.
Quarter there.
Ooh. No, but and please, listener, hear us. We're not saying something weird here that you shouldn't do Christmas and all that.
No.
Go ahead, December 25th, it's fine.
Yeah.
And you know what? Jesus isn't mad about it. Up in heaven, hey, they all got the wrong day
Man.
For my birthday.
Well, yeah, but how would you like it if somebody just decided they're going to celebrate your birthday when you did?
Yeah, but this is the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings.
Okay.
I think he can handle it.
He can handle it.
I really do.
Hey, celebrating your birthday early, that's
right.
Kind of a bonus.
Yeah, okay, so
yeah.
So with that in mind, now we're at Luke chapter 4, because Jesus goes in to be tempted by the devil.
Hmm. Yeah, Luke jumps right into it, doesn't he?
Oh, man.
He's quick. So is Mark.
Yeah, so in Luke chapter 4, so Jesus grows up, becomes a man, just about to start his ministry. Verse 1 says Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So then the devil starts in on these temptations. And in Luke, it is the second temptation we want to look at in verse 5. The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms, there's our word again,
plural, yeah,
of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, this is really a big deal, because even though the devil is playing catch up here, because it's already been announced by the angel Gabriel,
right?
This guy
Whoa.
Is going to reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom's going to last forever.
So this
but
wasn't
now,
like a private email that was sent, right? So, I mean, we tend to think that when this
yeah.
announcement comes, like the fallen world isn't hearing
right.
what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, good point. So how are we going to respond to this? Because they're reacting. They're not leading this out anymore.
Yeah, they're reacting.
Right. So let's cut this off. Satan says, let's get him to, let's go, you know, God sent him down here to take over the world. All right, let him have it, just as long as he worships me.
Wow.
Whoa.
How many movies are done with that plot?
Yeah, kind of sneaky, isn't it?
It is.
And Jesus, of course, says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Mm.
Jesus is not going to enter into the the political systems of this world, even having them supernaturally given to him by Satan. Jesus isn't going to fall for that.
Right.
How many human beings fall for that? Over and over and over again.
How so? Explain.
Well, how many of them you want to talk about out there? Political kingdoms that are
Whoa.
Enslaving mankind, where Satan, he doesn't appear to people with his long johns and his horns on his head. He's speaking lies into their minds and hearts and making deals with
yeah.
them, in some cases, actual deals.
Yeah.
You learn about some of these African countries and other places in the world. Satan worship and giving children to the devil and all this. Okay, give me three of your kids, man. You could be the king of whatever nation. It happens. And I'm telling you, Jesus, this is here in the Bible to let us know that from the beginning, Jesus was standing clear of Satan's dominion and his treachery over the human race.
Yeah,
that would have no part of it,
right?
At all,
right? And refutes it all with the Word of God, which was established
Old
Testament,
knowing he's going to be condemned and have to die the most gruesome death, the crucifixion, because of it, but stays true to it right through to the very end.
Yeah. So, you know, in establishing these kingdoms and establishing rule over people, it was shared with me last night about a mother who heard from her child a dream that the child had. And it's interesting how the enemy comes in at very early ages to establish his rule in your life.
Oh, man.
So on this 7-year-old has a dream, and she's playing her guitar, gets done playing her guitar, sets it in the guitar stand, turns around, and then looks back at her guitar, and there is a serpent, a boa, wrapped around her guitar.
Ugh.
And she said, Oh my gosh. She said, and Steve Kimmy wasn't there to protect me. Which is, it's interesting though, right? Like, here is the serpent trying to prevent her from playing a guitar. It starts early. These are things that start early, that start to develop the young mind that God isn't in control. The devil's in control. I will control where you can go. I will take this. I'm going to take this away from you. I want you to stay away from this.
Mm.
Because there's callings, I think, that are coming on to our children.
Yeah.
To establish the kingdom of God, you need to have people that are like-minded for the kingdom. And how can you get there if you're never subjected? Just, you know what I mean, Doc? It's just like...
Subjected to...
To the Word of God.
Right.
But they've been subjected to Disney.
And even Jesus had this.
Oh, okay.
And this takes us back into the Christmas story. Maybe we should end with this today.
Okay.
Because Mary and Joseph, in Luke chapter 2, they take them to Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
And they're presenting them to the Lord. Jesus at this point is 8 days old. That's how the deal is supposed to be. 8 days were completed, verse 21.
Right.
Then the days of her purification, that's later. That's like 40-some days. Later, Mary's days are completed. 21. Then they go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay? And they have Jesus there with them. And then look at verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. What about all the stuff we just talked about? The kingdom of David, Judah being destroyed, 500 plus years, no king, and all this. This man named Simeon is still waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, basically the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
Whoa.
Oh, man. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom, because his mother was being through the purification thing and all that.
Yeah.
Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now think of the power of these words. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What did Simeon see? He saw a baby that was about 40 or 50 days old.
Yeah.
But in the spirit, he saw salvation.
Whoa.
which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
See, even there, wow. The Gentiles are being
included.
Yeah, they're slowly being met. You know, it's like, what do you call it? There's an infiltration of God's word.
Right.
And
the people that were around Jesus, though, this is what you were talking about. Well, here's one of them, Simeon. The dude has been there waiting his whole life. He's an old man in his 80s.
And he knows,
here he is. This is the guy, this baby. Yeah. And then you go on, verse 36. Oh, well, no, first, finished with Simeon. Joseph and his mother, that's Mary, marveled at the things which were spoken of. Mm-hmm. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the... Can you imagine this? Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful family scene. You know, they're kind of doing the, you know, the thing at the temple of God. You got the mother, you got the father, you got the baby.
Yeah.
You know, and a nice little family time. Well, here's what Simeon says. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against.
Yeah.
He's already prophesying the cross.
Ooh.
And then he says to Mary, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Whoa.
Yeah, what about that, Catholic Church? A sword will be pierced through her heart.
That the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Wow.
You know what? So this is what comes to mind. I don't want to bang this drum too loud. But there was a movie that came out by Disney, and many of you parents have let your children watch this over and over and over and over again, called Lion King.
Mm.
And it is where the baboon takes the lion cub and holds it up over the crevice, right? And da-da-da-da-da, lifting him up as being the king. He's going to be the king. That's a ripoff. You understand? That's a ripoff right out of Luke chapter 2. There is no other king. And see, the thing of it is that we build these shallow ideas around our children, and it's all going to just crumble and fall. We have got to get our families back into the Word.
The solidity of the Word.
Wow.
So then you keep going here. So that was Simeon. That's one guy that was around in the early life of Jesus. How about Anna?
Yeah, come on.
There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple,
whoa,
but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. This was the intercessor,
yes,
that prayed in,
yes,
the incarnation of the Son of God. And she lived there. She didn't go home.
Right.
Married to this dude for 7 years. He dies. She says, I'm just going to give my whole life, my spirit, soul, and body to the Lord.
Right.
What do you want me to do, Lord?
Oh, my word.
Well, wow. So what is she's coming in that instant? She gave thanks to the Lord. Now as Simeon finishes up, Anna comes in, gives thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. These are the people that were around Jesus in his early days. And I'm telling you, the impact of that for the kingdom, and Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it cannot be overstated. So, listener, we just want to leave you with this today.
Yeah.
That the purpose of God is going to come to pass. The question for human beings is, are you going to align yourself with the truth of God?
Yeah.
Or with the error of the devil?
Hallelujah.
That's really the question. And no matter how bad it looks, can you imagine how it looked to the people in that 500-year period of time? And even during the years leading right up to the birth of Jesus, Rome was in control of everything, tax everything, and suppress the Jewish people and hold them down. Here's two that never gave up,
Hallelujah.
Simeon and Anna. and were moved by the Spirit
right
of God.
I wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing too, Doc, which I kind of just had come into since we started looking at this, was the idea that the kingdom is only available to the people who have called upon the name of the Lord.
Right.
The kingdom is not available to everybody, not yet. But Jesus, when he comes back to earth, that's when everyone is going to benefit from being in the kingdom. But right now, it's just to those that believe on Jesus. And the benefits of living and participating and doing your life in the kingdom of God surely outweigh anything that the devil or this world could offer you or your children.
That's right. So I want to pray over you, listener, as we end this podcast here today. Father, I just lift up these precious listeners to you, men and women. Lord, that like in these Bible days, revelation came. And they could see who Jesus was, even when he was a baby. Lord, I just ask that revelation would come into the hearts of these sons and these daughters. And Lord, that revelation would exalt Jesus as the King. And that they would desire to be reigned over by him. And Lord, that this Christmas season would go beyond just religion and just family. Family's good. And we like it and we enjoy it. But Lord, to get into your presence and realize what it's really all about is you coming into this world.
Yes.
To be Savior, Messiah, Healer, all that you were, and yet also to be King. So we bow to you in that, Jesus. And we praise you and thank you for that. In your holy name. Amen.
Amen.